Making TV special.
Yes. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
To reach the end, the band is Surfer Blood, and that's from their awesome new record, Astro Coast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the B-side of episode 168 from Media Monarchy. It's May 7th, 2010, and my name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Recording live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, about a quarter after 8 a.m. Pacific Time, again on this May 7th. Becoming more and more of a regular thing to have these extra addendum episodes each week. There's so much. I could do a four-hour straight show today and not be able to go into depth of all the insane happenings. May you live in interesting times indeed, my friends. We're going to go over so much, even on just this 168 B-side. And it was Swim to Reach the End, which is the subtitle of the May 6th News Purge, which is what we're going to go over for the bulk of this B-side episode 168, again, MediaMonarchy.com. BioWars and EnviroHealth updates, of course, there is no shortage of those. All around the world, earth changes. Tornado floods kill at least 22 in southern U.S. More on that from TaraDaily.com. Horrible photos from Tennessee. PBS's Nova last Tuesday ran a new episode, Mount St. Helens Back from the Dead. The volcano in southwestern Washington, and my friends again coming to you from Portland, Oregon. Downtown Portland, Oregon. The volcano in southwestern Washington state erupted spectacularly in May 1980, 30 years ago this month. A moment revisited in Mount St. Helens Back from the Dead. The real focus, though, is what's been going on since the big blow. And they go through the devastation and compare it to Krakatoa in Indonesia in 1883. But jumping down a little bit, more attention getting is the bizarre range of seismic activity that has gone on at the mountain in the past 30 years. It's burbled out a dome of lava, disgorged skyscraper-size shafts of solid rock, rumbled in regular patterns, then gone silent for long stretches. Researchers interviewed for the program try to sound as if they knew what the heck was going on inside Mount St. Helens, but in the end, everybody admits there's no telling when it might blow up again or how catastrophic that explosion might be. So we come away with two clear lessons. Anyone who owns real estate in Washington, and probably Oregon too, ought to sell it. Lesson number two, we had all better hope that Mount St. Helens never establishes communication with that volcano over in Iceland. The one that managed to bring a significant part of the world to a standstill recently with some mere throat clearing. The two ever managed to coordinate their efforts, grounded airplanes may be the least of our worries. Now, of course, you'll recall we mentioned last week on the main 168 episode that new research shows the cloud wasn't as bad as it was claimed. We always have these opposite reactions to events, overreacting to small things and underreacting to real things. And again, our misleaders who generally cause most of the problems are there to act as our saviors if only we invite the vampire in. And again, that's what this is all about, essentially, as the earth is waking up and as mankind is waking up. Not to sound all new agey, but you know it's happening. We have to just say no. But I digress. Walmart toxic dumping case, 27 mil. Walmart has agreed to pay $27.6 million to settle a lawsuit over waste handling violations in stores throughout California, including improper disposal of hazardous waste in Orange County. It's one of the largest such settlements in U.S. history, said San Diego County DA's office. And more on that from OC Register. Children's Tylenol recalled over tiny particles and out-of-control manufacturing process. From naturalnews.com, Johnson & Johnson issued a recall of over 40 Tylenol brand children's products including concentrated Tylenol infant drops, children's Motrins, children's Zyrtec, Benadryl, and all kinds of other over-the-counter garbage. The recall was triggered by what the FDA calls, quote, manufacturing deficiencies. Douglas Stern, senior FDA official, said the manufacturing process was, quote, not in control, which is the FDA's polite way of saying it was out of control. There's more on that from Natural News. Recalled children's Tylenol products were knowingly contaminated, so says the FDA. And we've mentioned this recently, but there's more from allgov.com on the dramatic rise in prescribing psychiatric drugs to children under five. Getting a lot of great news from bioprepwatch.com. Going to try and get somebody from there on for an interview. ATF purchases biodetection equipment. Two teens charged in South Carolina anthrax hoax. And the third story from BioPrep Watch, Supreme Court shuts main doors to stop bioterror threats in an effort to protect against the possibility of biological and chemical terrorist plots. the U.S. Supreme Court has cordoned off its famous front entrance to the public, starting Wednesday. That was May 4th, or was that Tuesday? I don't know. Visitors to the court now enter through side entrances. The entrance provides a secure, reinforced area to screen for yada yada. Poisoned by Pollution, the new documentary and book. More on that from thecanaryreport.org. They report on a lot of what's referred to as chemical sensitivity issues, MCS, multiple chemical sensitivity. So more on that from thecanaryreport.org. And the last note on the BioWars and EnviroHealth. You got to see it to believe it, but I'm telling you. WashingtonExaminer.com, new recycling bins with tracking chips coming to Alexandria, Virginia. Residents soon will have to pay for larger home recycling bins featuring built-in monitoring devices. City Council added a mandatory $9 charge to its residents' annual waste collection fee. That cash, roughly $180,000 collected from 19,000 residents, will pay for new, larger recycling carts equipped with computer microchips, which will allow the city to keep tabs on its bins and track resident participation in the city's recycling program, or more appropriately, to track their non-participation. If you know who's participating in the programs, you can focus your education and outreach to those who are not participating. And they make you pay for it. Again, that's the lesson we see on so many levels. We'll lie and cheat and screw and kill you and make you pay for it. Couple of, I would say, both interesting positive notes on the drug war. The first one, overwhelmingly positive. Washington, D.C. approves medical use of marijuana. The District of Criminals. Doing something right for a change. The D.C. Council approved a measure on Tuesday that would allow people with certain chronic illnesses to obtain medical marijuana from a handful of dispensaries regulated by the city. The 13-member council voted unanimously to allow doctors to recommend marijuana for people who are infected with HIV, as well as people with glaucoma, cancer, or a, quote, chronic and lasting disease. The legislation permits Mayor Fenty to establish up to 8 dispensaries where patients could receive 2 ounces of marijuana a month. The measure gives the mayor the option of raising the amount to 4 ounces without further council action. The other drug war note is a funny one, as only Geraldo and the fine folks at Fox could bring us. Where ultimately Fox and all the mainline establishment talking heads and the military-industrial complex, they all kind of know the secret is that we tolerate opium production in Afghanistan.
Hi, Allison, Dave, and Clayton. Yes, in some ways, the Marines' brilliantly executed invasion of Marja, this town in the middle of Helmand province, was the easy part. The hard part now is governing this province, a province, as you suggest, that has become addicted to opium in many, many ways. That is the principal crop that is being grown here. The Taliban lend the farmers the money. They are indebted to the Taliban. They have to grow the opium. Now the Marines, in their success, are, in a sense, a victim of their success, because now the population is, they have these opium fields, and we are tolerating it. We are tolerating the cultivation of the opium, because we know that if we were to destroy it now, the population would turn against the Marines, and it would be a real security risk.
Oh, it would be a real security risk, my friends. So, there you go. There you have it. The wars are about drugs. We tolerate opium production in Afghanistan because that's what funds the banksters and the wars, my friends. So, speaking of the banksters, the old boys, the multi-generational serial killers, let's get to the EconoCrash updates, of which there are many and frightening stories all around the world. First one we'll hit from businessweek.com. Americans seeking reward money inform the IRS on others. Americans seeking reward money are turning in neighbors, clients, and employees, or rather employers, they suspect of cheating on taxes to the IRS at a rate of nearly 8 per day, the director of the agency's whistleblower program said. A horrible misuse of the term whistleblower. Steve Whitlock, the director, told an audience of about 200 lawyers, investigators, and government officials at a Miami Beach conference on offshore banking that his office receives 40 to 50 tips per month alleging tax liability in excess of $2 million. Americans submit another 200 per month alleging smaller violations. Whitlock said submissions have surged since the enactment in 2006 of a law that requires the IRS to pay awards of between 15 and 30% in cases where more than $2 million is collected. Ratting out your friends and associates for a few dirty pieces of silver, my friends. And again, if you didn't see this stuff and you didn't read it in print, you wouldn't believe it. And unfortunately, a lot of folks aren't seeing this and aren't reading this in print because they're still lapping up their news from the corporate-controlled media. And again, that's what we try and do here through MediaMonarchy.com, is give you the text and the subtext and the context of what's going on and try and light a fire under your ass to do more research. And again, I'm not the smartest guy in the world at all. I just pay attention. Stocks extend a plunge on concerns about Greece. That was from the Associated Press yesterday, where we know that gold pushed above $1,200 in after-hours trading as the U.S. stock market melted down. That's right. The stock market dove, I believe it was not as much since the 87 crash. But it regained. So let's grab something from the Economic Collapse blog. In one of the most dizzying half hours in stock market history, the Dow plunged nearly 1,000 points on Thursday, May 6, before bouncing back to close down at 347.8. This represented the biggest intraday decline since 1987. But what made this crash so absolutely shocking is that it happened in the course of less than an hour. Between 2 and 3 p.m., the Dow lost over 700 points before dramatically bouncing back about 600 points. So, what happened? And these are eight theories from the Economic Collapse blog that we'll just run down quickly. Was it a bad trade? Was it a computer glitch? Was it cascading stop losses? Was it hackers? Was it cyber terrorism? Was it fear of the European debt crisis spreading? Was it a real panic? Or was it a stop-loss hunting expedition? Again, some of these things get into somewhat complicated econo-crash terms. But if we hit businessinmedia.org, we'll see that CNBC's Maria Bartiromo said, quote, "This really sounds like market manipulation to me," end quote. Let's also note from Washington's blog, and we made a reference to this, I believe, last week in the EconoCrash updates. Forget complicated arguments about the benefits of public banking. Just check out a chart from Business Insider. North Dakota is the only state to currently have a higher level of economic activity year over year. They have their own public bank. They are the only state with its own public bank. So the only question is, any questions? Members of Congress bet against stocks. As the economy continued to crash, some members of Congress made risky bets with their own money that U.S. stocks or bonds would fall during the financial crisis. A Wall Street Journal analysis of congressional disclosures show senators criticized Goldman Sachs for profiting from the housing collapse, and Congress is considering legislation to curb Wall Street risk-taking, including the use of financial instruments known as derivatives and of leverage. But 13 members of Congress or their spouses showed bearish bets made in 2008 via exchange-traded funds, portfolios that trade like stocks and mirror an index. So the question, again, from the economiccollapseblog.com, how is the U.S. economy supposed to succeed when our politicians and big banks are making billions betting against it? when we get to the 9/11 updates at the end of episode 169, we'll get into some of the insider trading and some of the updates there. News Junkie Post says we should call the banksters and the complicit, corrupt Congress and all their cronies in the corporate power, in the executive branch. Let's call them what they really are, and that is fascist. And again, Mussolini, who is credited with coining the term fascism, said corporatism would be the more appropriate term. And whether the state takes over the corporations, like in communism, or corporations take over the state, isn't the end result the goddamn same thing? A fascinating story by way of the Los Angeles Times, and we'll only briefly brush into this. A room with a view to one big mystery is the title of the article. Why did a counterfeiter set up face the Los Angeles Federal Reserve Office? Cryptogon.com has some updates on one of the guys connected in this, Brian Alexic, where we also discover that in this spot, across the street from the Federal Reserve, where there just happened to be a Ponzi scheme running, again, if you're going to do something like that, why would you go and do it across the street from the banksters? Why would Lee Harvey Oswald have his office right across from ONI and DOD in New Orleans? But there was a tile mosaic replica of the CIA logo on the floor and a portrait of Hugo Chavez hanging above it. On a bit of resistance note, my friends, Bank of America, multiple Bank of America terminals hit with Mark of the Beast graffiti.
Several Albuquerque Bank of America locations are targets of vandalism. It's an extreme attack with bold numbers and symbols that are puzzling people passing by.
Now an email sent to Eyewitness News 4 gives us a hint at why an attack like this would happen. Christina Rada is live from one of the targeted banks near Carlisle and Candelaria. Christina?
Antoinette and Joe, there are many questions. Why Bank of America? Why so many locations? And why only in Albuquerque? Questions that a viewer email could help us answer. But first, I want to show you some of the graffiti. Take a look at this. It's very similar, if not exactly the same, to that found at a downtown Bank of America, just a few blocks away from the downtown police station.
A stunned viewer snapped these shots. In bold red, there's a heart, a money symbol. Then in black, the number 666. There's paint splatter on glass, ATMs are drenched, and even a Bank of America sign took a hit. The city says in all six banks were vandalized, but why? All morning long, we received calls from stunned Bank of America customers with the same question. Then came this email, speaking out against major corporations like Bank of America. It says, we the working class are tired of being slaves to the credit system and financial institutions. We must take direct action against the institutions that have failed us. Through peaceful acts of civil disobedience, our first action has been to target these same financial institutions and rob the people blind. We emailed the person who sent this, but didn't hear back. The city's graffiti cleanup crews, seven of them, sprayed over and cleaned up the mess, saying there's nothing typical about this, except that most vandals are pretty bold.
They take risks. They go up into high areas. They go right in front of police stations.
This downtown Bank of America is just a few blocks from the downtown police station. Right now, police are not saying if there are any leads.
Well, Bank of America is not commenting on who may have targeted their banks, except to denounce the destruction, saying that this is not a productive way to communicate. They also tell us none of their other locations were affected. Reporting live from Northeast Albuquerque, I'm Christina Rana, Eyewitness News 4.
Mark of the Beast graffiti hitting Albuquerque. But further down the ugly econo crash list of headlines, my friends, on MediaMonarchy.com, as we're going down the ugly May 6th news purge, swim to reach the end. Most school districts to cut jobs and freeze hiring next year. That's from CNN Money. Efforts to expand audits of the Federal Reserve pick up steam in Senate, and I believe there's been some action on that. We're going to have to probably hit that later when we grab the breaking news updates. But it gets stranger. By way of the Huffington Post and all around, Pennsylvania's Department of Revenue has launched a new ad campaign letting residents know about a 54-day tax amnesty during which people who owe the state back taxes can pay them with 100% of penalties and half of the interest waived. But the television ad promoting the amnesty has raised some people's hackles. It features a computerized voice addressing an individual who owes back taxes named Tom. Listen, Tom, let's make this easy, or we can make this easy for you, the voice says as a satellite image zooms in from space onto Tom's house. We know who you are.
Your name is Tom. You live just off of Fifth Street. Nice car, Tom. Nice house. What's not so nice is you owe Pennsylvania $4,212 in back taxes. Listen, Tom, we can make this easy. Pay online by June 18th, and we'll skip your penalty and take half off your interest. Because, Tom, we do know who you are.
We're not living in an Orwellian police state. It's all just a conspiracy theory. However, that's not what Pennsylvania's government is telling their citizens. In what can only be described as a mafia-style intimidation tactic, the Pennsylvania government PA Tax Pay Up is telling citizens that they know who you are. Find us before we find you. So what's more disturbing than the ad itself is that governments are now finding it suitable to announce to us that we are living in an Orwellian police state and that we're all being monitored. The commercial is a chilling confirmation that we now are living in an Orwellian nightmare. The last note on the econo crash, my friends, ties a couple of things in. And we'll grab the story by way of InfoWars. Keith Sadler, Toledo man, streams foreclosure occupation over the internet. Keith Sadler, a victim of the greatest bankster heist in history, currently ongoing, lost his UAW job thanks to the premeditated deindustrialization of America. That would be NAFTA and CAFTA, thanks to our previous puppet Democrats from the fake left. Now the bank wants to take his home through foreclosure. Last Monday, he was to be evicted from his home in Toledo, Ohio, but he has vowed to resist. Keith Sadler in Stony Ridge in Toledo, Ohio, is streaming his foreclosure occupation on Ustream TV.
Six people are locked in a house right now in Wood County. They are waiting for police to come in and tell them they have to get out. You see, they are squatting to fight foreclosure. Allison Brown is live with why they are doing this.
Well, Keith Sadler has lived in his house for the last 20 years, but he's going to be evicted tomorrow, but some activists want to stop it.
Bail out the people, not the bank!
The Toledo Foreclosure Defense League is chanting, holding signs, even using technology to get their point across. They want to fight foreclosure here at the Stony Ridge House on Fremont Pike in Wood County, and they are using nonviolent civil disobedience to do it. They say it's their last resort.
We've tried every single possible avenue that the system has sort of set up for us, and they've all failed. We've tried government assistance. We've tried loan remodification. We've tried calling representatives. We've done everything we can, and it's time to sort of step it up and sort of disrupt this process any way we can.
That includes involving police officers who are expected to show up and kick out the squatters. They say they plan to talk to authorities while on lockdown. And while they are stressing nonviolence here, they want to get their message across that the government system is corrupt.
This is definitely a national problem that affects everyone, not just the poor, not just the working class, not just the middle class. Even million-dollar mansions are getting foreclosed on, you know?
Bail out the people, not the banks!
Now, these guys know what they are doing is illegal, but they are willing to take the risk. Wood County Sheriff says they will come out and get the people out of the house if there are court papers involved. Reporting live tonight, Allison Brown, Fox Toledo News.
Keith Sadler is broadcasting his foreclosure occupation on ustream.tv/foreclosuredefense. And yes, we are now recording on ustream.tv/media monarchy. We tested it out last week. We're giving it some more tests this week. We'll have to work on our lighting and some of those kind of things to try and get this going. And again, it's just another tool to try and reach out to folks all around the world. So again, ustream.tv/foreclosuredefense is where Toledo Man And there's constantly stuff going on. You can tune in anytime and see people giving dissertations on the greatest bankster heist in history. Again, ongoing. And we see it ongoing all around the world. One of the questions, one of the theories, why did the stocks take such a dive yesterday? Well, let's hop over to geopolitics and see that the Greek parliament passed their austerity bill. And we'll grab this from Wikinews. That Thursday, May 6th, Greek parliament approved an austerity bill proposed by the government to help rescue the country's ailing economy. The proposal, which includes increases in taxes as well as salary and pension cuts, passed with 172 members of parliament supporting, 121 opposing. The vote comes after a debate that took the entire day. Meanwhile, rallies and strikes are being held around the country to protest against the measures. The protests have occasionally turned violent with a firebomb attack on a bank, killing three people. The Eurozone and the IMF had asked for austerity plans to be implemented so that Greece can access a rescue loan package worth $146 billion in order not to default on debts. Again, we went over this last week, debts that were caused by central banksters in their Ponzi scheme of printing money out of thin air, loaning it out. Ponzi schemes built on fake zeros and ones can only go on so long, but as we see throughout the world, big or small, Democrat, Republican, socialist, democracy, capitalist, whatever, all the gains are privatized to the banksters and the families and the societies, and all the losses are put on to us, the suckers. At least three protesters killed as protesters storm parliament in Greece. News Junkie Post asks if Greece's social unrest will be contagious. Unfortunately, I think we're already getting the answer to that. Many possible triggers for a wider euro debt crisis. Again, we went over a lot of this last week. It's still ongoing. We're going to go over a lot of things in the main episode that were ongoing from last week. And again, oil spills and time bombs and tornadoes and terror and financial new world order, all of it happening, all of it shaking everybody. But again, folks just want to watch American Idol to see who got cut last night. A couple of clips from Russia Today. First one, we're not going to hit Alex Jones talking to Russia Today, of course noting that this crisis will come to the U.S. The Wall Street Journal notes Europe crisis deepens as chaos grips Greece. But let's take this clip from Russia Today where they talk to Gerald Celente of the Trends Research Institute, one of the few folks who is getting more and more attention because he's generally always been right, has pretty much correctly predicted most of the things going on, including the new Great Depression.
Our top story this hour, the financial crisis in Greece has taken a violent turn today as angry protesters take to the streets and clash with law enforcement. Greek police were forced to use tear gas grenades to disperse an angry mob of rioters in Athens. Protesters even set a bank building on fire, killing three people inside. The chaos comes amid a 24-hour nationwide strike that left thousands of flights grounded, shut down ports, schools, and even left many hospitals understaffed. Could those powerful images unfolding in Greece ever become a reality here in the United States? Here to talk to me about that very topic is Gerald Celente, director of the Trends Research Institute. Mr. Celente, you've said frequently that the United States is heading towards a financial crisis. Do you think what's happening in Greece right now is what's going to happen here in this country too?
It's not only going to happen in America, it's going to happen in most of the world. We have talked about this for months on end. You saw it's the second American Revolution has already begun. It began in 2009 on April 15th with the Tea Parties and the tax protests. They were laughed at by the major media. And then we saw it again in July of 2009 on the 4th of July, when the hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets. We saw it at the protests for health care reform. We saw it when over nearly a million people, marched on Washington on September 12th of 2009. This is going on worldwide. The people are protesting The Greek tragedy is merely another chapter in the protests against the too big to fails.
Is there anything in the Greek system that's different from the United States economy that could keep that from happening here?
Well, the difference is that the United States could print its own money for a while, where the Greeks don't have that option. But and of course the Greek people have caused their own problems as well, just as the Americans, by overspending, and theirs with their pension and tax cheating. But the overall reality is that the people are seeing what is this bailout all about and who is responsible for funding it. And it's falling on the backs of the people, just like in America, where they tax the people to bail out the too big to fails. Let's call this Greek bailout what it is. It's bailing out the European and the American banks that made big bets on Greek bonds that they're afraid are going to go belly up. And the people don't want to shoulder the burden, and we're going to see these kind of tax protests and revolts go worldwide.
And I think he is right, for better or worse, my friends. Further down the geopolitics updates, again, Washington's blog asks if now France and Germany are in trouble. Portugal may be cut by Moody's as contagion spreads. That's from Bloomberg. And we note from the BBC that Nigel Farage, F-A-R-A-G-E, a bankster critic, critic of the EU, critic of the banksters, called Van Rompuy, of course, the head of the EU. Bad names. Nigel Farage was injured in a plane crash in Northamptonshire. Again, we get that from the BBC, and a related story that I'm not sure if it takes into account the Nigel Farage story. And again, why is it anyone who's a critic of the new financial world order seems to die in a plane crash? Regime change by plane crash goes into the recent Polish plane crash killing the president. We make a quick note from the Washington Times. Mexico's immigration laws are tougher than Arizona's. We're going to get into that in the mainline episode 169 coming up. The lone Mumbai terrorist survivor sentenced to death. That's from nationalterroralert.com, which, again, I love that site because they give you the dirt on what the mainline military-industrial complex is looking at and what they consider terror, which, again, as we've said from Section 802 of the Patriot Act, pretty much everything is terror. All crime is terror. Lone gunman that survived the Mumbai 1126 false flag event. Of course, David Headley, covert agent involved in the Mumbai attacks. He's now been shepherded away. David Headley. AFRICOM and neo-colonialism. Pentagon carving Africa into military zones. More on that from Global Research. UK bishops in defection talks with the Vatican. And the last note, which I'm sure there have been updates from when I put this clip together even just a few short hours ago, UK election leaves uncertainty and ushers in a stalemated parliament.
It may have been dry in London Thursday morning, but it was raining elsewhere in Britain, a reflection of the political storm that's been brewing ahead of the country's crucial election day. Polls have judged the race too close to call between the country's three major parties. Only months ago, most observers thought the election would be a solid win for the opposition Conservatives, but an embarrassing expense scandal involving lawmakers across party lines hurt the country's old guard, including the Tories. Leader David Cameron's elite background also could be damaging when many voters face economic hard times. Beleaguered Prime Minister Gordon Brown may have been smiling when he arrived to cast his ballot in his Scottish constituency, but his Labour Party's been slipping steadily in popularity since Tony Blair's landslide win 13 years ago. His cause wasn't helped by his recent campaign gaffe, where a live microphone caught him calling an elderly voter a bigot. Nick Clegg's Liberal Democrats have been mired in third place in the past, but his strong performance in Britain's first ever television debates has caused speculation the party could pull enough votes to prevent the others from getting a majority to form a government, raising the specter of a hung parliament. That worries the markets, as Britain is running a record budget deficit, and it concerns voters like Jules Oldroyd and David Hobson as well.
It's going to be a weak government, whichever one wins the election. So whether the Tory party get a majority or whether it's a hung parliament, it's going to be a weak government. And that's a concern, given the state of the public finances. You want a strong government at this time.
I think how a new government is going to sort out the national debt, I think that is probably the biggest issue I think this country faces.
Britain's influential newspapers have weighed in with their final recommendations on the vote. And at least one last-minute campaign stunt has gone wrong. A light aircraft went down carrying a candidate for the UK Independence Party, which advocates Britain's withdrawal from the European Union. Nigel Farage reportedly didn't suffer life-threatening injuries. In a matter of hours, however, it should become evident if Election Day results wrecked any of the hopes of the major party candidates. Karen Sloan, The Associated Press.
So they do work in a little bit about Nigel Farage. Oh, he had a little plane difficulties. He was almost suicided, or disappeared, or again, regime change by plane crash. And I would think, ultimately, that a deadlocked parliament would be a good thing. And that's more what we need in the States with our Congress. We need to essentially put the brakes on what's going on. So a deadlocked Congress that can't ram through all the ridiculous legislation that they're passing, stealing our money, stealing our personal liberties, we need to put the brakes on it, and a deadlocked parliament and a deadlocked Congress would be a great thing. A couple of history mystery notes. Analysis of 40-year-old tape may reveal whether Ohio guardsmen were ordered to fire on Kent State protesters. More on that from Cleveland.com. May 4th being the anniversary of four dead in Ohio. LouRockwell.com gets into it more hardcore. Kent State killings triggered by FBI agent provocateur. Surprise, surprise. Anytime an event happens, we always seem to find the ugly fingerprints of the intelligence networks. And on a different note, search narrows for Air France Flight 447 black boxes. Based on new analysis of sonar pings, French investigators focusing attention on a smaller area of the Atlantic to continue the hunt for the black boxes that could reveal why the Air France Flight 447 crashed last June. We, of course, covered that quite extensively on Media Monarchy last June. Into the media and the memes, mind control theories and techniques used by mass media. Another fantastic article from VigilantCitizen.com breaking down pop culture and the symbolism used and the theories that aren't so much theories when you go down the documentation on this new article. Again, VigilantCitizen.com. Who owns the media? How did it start? It'll call it programming for nothing. And this one's too good to pass by, and it'll only take a second. But it's worth noting an update on our dumbed-down population. Stupid teen celebrity Justin Bieber doesn't know what German is.
Okay, Justin Bieber, is German for basketball, true or false?
Is what?
Is German for basketball, true or false?
German?
German. Sorry, that's the Kiwi accent going on there. German, you know? German.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, German. German.
Is German for... I don't know what that means.
Okay,
we don't say that in America.
We'll move on.
I like basketball, if that's what you're asking me.
Yeah, why not? He likes basketball.
Yeah.
So he's on some, like, you know, chat show, but he's on... It's in New Zealand. And that you heard the guy say, oh, that's the Kiwi accent, I guess. He says the word German like four or five times and he doesn't know what it is. And then he leans over and shows him the card, shows it written down on his little cue card. I don't know what that is. And then he tries to blow it off by saying, we don't say that in America. Well, you're Canadian, dumbass. This unfortunately reminds us of the 2007 Miss Teen ridiculousness. That again is a sad state. Unification Church will be putting the Washington Times up for sale. More on that from the Washington Post. The last note on media memes, Keith Olbermann interviewed Dave Foley of the Kids in the Hall about a skit they kind of dug up from 94 that kind of eerily seems to predict Glenn Beck. But let's hit the murder and the mayhem Twilight Language on Copycat Effect, Lauren Coleman's fantastic blog and book of the same name, Copycat Effect. Three attacks in 3 days, copycat attacks going on in China and Japan, stabbings, female stabbings again. We've been watching, and thanks to my man Zach, tracking the Black Widow memes. And we've had the suicide bombers that are referred to as Black Widows. We have these female stabbing sprees going on in China and Japan, but that's not all. We've also got it going on in Seattle, where... No, wait. Is this the Seattle? It's going on all over the place. We got California. We got Seattle. Yes. Let's get it from ComoNews.com. Knife-wielding attacker says, "It's my job."
Then he told me, "No, I won't kill you."
I was thinking, is this the end of her life?
I'm shouting and crying, but nobody came and helped me.
A Seattle mother becomes a survivor.
Stabbed 15 times in front of her young daughter, she refused to stop fighting for her life. The mother and daughter talked only to Comeforce Ray Lane, who's live in downtown Seattle with their story. Ray?
Dan and Mary, good evening. We're here at the King County Jail, and this is where the suspect is being held on an assault charge. Tonight, the victim tells us that during the attack, she actually worried about what was going to happen to her children because she really believed that she was going to die.
When I saw the knife, I know this man, this person is killing me. I know this person is going to kill me.
The 40-year-old victim remains horribly shaken, so concerned about her safety and the safety of her family, she did not want their identities revealed. The attack happened in the middle of the day last Friday in the High Point neighborhood of West Seattle, an area of new housing with a sizable immigrant population. The victim herself is from Somalia. She and her 9-year-old daughter were walking home from a clinic when they say a man wearing a hooded sweatshirt quickly walked up from behind them. He knocked the woman to the ground, kicked and punched her, and stabbed her at least 15 times.
And I fight my legs and my hands together at the same time. The man, he wanted to put the knife in my neck.
He never punctured her neck, but the small knife cut her chest, arms, and head. She says the 22-year-old man was clear about what he wanted to do.
I said, "Take my bag if you want." I think he's a thief. Then he told me, "No, I won't kill you." So already he's killing me. He wanted to kill me.
Her daughter watched it all, none of it making sense.
When he wrapped his hands around her, I asked myself, he doesn't even know her, but then when I saw a knife, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is not right. Is this really happening?" Some people were asking, "Why were you doing this?" He said, "It's my job."
A family that escaped a war-torn African country, only to have near-deadly violence find them here.
Without reason, person can kill like that easy. I never knew that.
Making matters even worse for the woman, her husband is stuck in Somalia. He's having visa troubles getting into the United States. Prosecutors have until Wednesday to file charges against the suspect, and it's Wednesday when that suspect will have his next appearance in court. Live in downtown Seattle tonight, Ray Lane, Como 4 News.
So that was a male doing the stabbing, so not the Black Widow, but it was important to note the "it's my job." And again, these are the ravings of people who have lost it, of which we only see an unfortunate exponential rise in. Even on my walk here, it's like I see more trucks with security on them, more helicopters flying overhead, more people sleeping on the sidewalks, just a general rising tension level. But again, from Copycat Effect on the new stabbings, again wondering, is this the copycat meme coming from the Chinese knife attacks now to the West Hollywood, California, in a Target store? At least 4 stabbed in a Southern California Target. Woman arrested. Again, more on this from NationalTerrorAlert.com. But the woman was screaming, "There is no witness protection program," as she stabbed people in a California store. This woman seems to fit the profile and the look. You should see her mugshot of a Black Widow. We also note, I believe today, opening in theaters around the country is the long-awaited Iron Man 2. Woohoo! Featuring Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. Couple other murder mayhem notes. Gunman with an AK-47 goes on rampage. 5 shot, 2 killed in Hawaiian Gardens. That was yesterday as well. This from the Los Angeles Times. NFL Hall of Famer Lawrence Taylor arrested in connection with a rape investigation. We're almost through this news purge. It's long and ugly and draining, and it's only going to go on and on and on. But it's so funny. It's all a big fucking joke, right? I know these weapons of mass destruction have got to be around here somewhere. Not to be outdone at the recent White House Correspondents' Dinner, Obama jokes about killing people via drones.
The Jonas Brothers are here. They're out there somewhere. Sasha and Malia are huge fans. But boys don't get any ideas. I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming. You think I'm joking?
I guess we'd like to think you're joking. But Obama's drone joke shows the reality of political leadership in this crumbling American empire. And Cryptogon.com fortunately notes that hundreds of Pakistani civilians have been murdered by Predator drones in 2009 alone. And all the rest about Changeluyo, Obamasiah. He was, surprise, surprise, the top recipient of political cash from British Petroleum and Goldman Sachs. AllGov.com notes that in Obama's Justice League, acquittal does not guarantee release from prison. We've noted that before. Even if you get acquitted, we might still hold you anyway. It's for your freedom. Obama, Gore, Goldman, and the Joyce Foundation and the Chicago Climate Exchange and all those partners getting together to fleece us. More on that from Examiner.com. And again, we've gone over this, perhaps not as extensively and explicitly as we should. Barack Obama, Al Gore, Goldman Sachs, the Joyce Foundation out of Chicago, the Chicago Climate Exchange. Even if you believe in the man-made global warming hoax, what is paying money to the banksters and the gangsters going to do about it? And it just gets worse and worse. Schwarzenegger tells Leno he still wants to be president.
I think that you're just asking me this because you know this is painful to me because I'm foreign born and I can run for president.
That's exactly.
That's what I like.
Would you like if they changed that law? Would you run if they had changed that law?
Without any doubt.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about that. Yeah, absolutely.
Vote for me, a steroid abusing, pot smoking, women groping, son of a Nazi, washed up, has been movie star. Yay! Oh, also, I believe we should keep an open mind towards stem cell research.
This election is out of control. Someone terrible could win.
Yes, and they usually do. Always got to get your great media satire from The Simpsons. Again, there's been no shortage of that. We're going to go over a bit of that in the main episode 169. Senator Mike Bennett caught looking at porn on the Senate floor. SunshineStateNews.com has more on that. Exposed Christian leader caught with male escort says he just needed help with his luggage. The newspaper that busted a Christian leader with a male escort ran a follow-up story yesterday. The male escort hired by anti-gay activist George Allen Reckers has told Miami New Times, the Baptist minister is a homosexual who paid him to provide body rubs once a day in the nude during their 10-day vacation in Europe. And it gets more lurid as it goes on. But isn't it always the most virulently anti-gay or anti-child porn they're involved in it? That's not an accident. Corrupt people like to get in positions of power where they can be free to indulge themselves. This guy, Wreckers, connected to Dobson. But on around the left-right political paradigm, Indiana voting machine glitch in 5,000 machines not reported by the company, IDS News. Randy Wilkerson becomes, Wilkinson rather, becomes first elected Tea Party official. Will run for Congress as a third party candidate. Huffington Post, I'm sure, painfully noting that the Tea Party movement can now boast its first elected official. Randy Wilkinson, Polk County Commissioner running for Florida's 12th Congressional District, decided to switch parties last week after the official Florida Tea Party gave him its blessing. Wilkinson plans to run in November as a third-party Tea Party candidate. And we're going to close out the Obamasiah and the criminal cabinet with a note from the Washington Post that Obama gets weekly tutorials in terror. This from just yesterday, May 6th. After a car bomb nearly detonated in Times Square on Saturday night, White House officials convened a series of impromptu briefings to keep President Obama updated as the suspect was identified, located, and caught trying to flee the country. But for the bigger questions on the global terrorist threat and how the administration can prevent an attack on U.S. soil, there's already a meeting on the books. Call it the Terrorism Tutorial. Almost every week, often on a Tuesday, Obama heads to the White House Situation Room for a meeting that explores terrorism-related subjects in depth. Rarely discussed in public, the hour-long briefings have become one of the most significant gatherings in the West Wing, bringing together cabinet-level intel and security officials, quote, to make sure everybody hears the same information and is updated on the threats. Threatiganda and talking points. That's pretty much exactly what they just said. These cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And what fucking good does it do? We see these events all happening, and of course, speculation is that the majority of them are trumped up, if not outright staged. But we know from former IDF soldier and dual citizen and chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, and of course his brother Ari, with the loving homage of him as a Hollywood agent being done in HBO's Entourage. Never let a crisis go unexploited. So we've got a massive clip from former CIA officer Robert Steele. When he was first out on the scene a couple of years ago, or maybe even a few years ago, we covered his work extensively on MediaMonarchy.com. He's one of the biggest reviewers of books on Amazon and has done a lot of good work bringing attention to the real open source intelligence. So this is a long clip, but it's so worth it, my friends. Robert Steele, former CIA officer, on Obama's millions of dollars of terrorism tutorials.
I am the son of an oil man. I lived overseas all of my life. I was very fortunate in both having several graduate degrees and being a Marine Corps infantry officer, Marine Corps intelligence officer, and then a clandestine intelligence case officer. I've programmed imagery satellites. I've helped steal signals code books. I've done counterintelligence. I'm basically intimately familiar with the way in which the U.S. government does or does not do the craft of intelligence.
What you need to know is I'm a spy saying spying doesn't work. It's costing you $1.2 billion a week to produce the president's daily brief for a guy that can't read. People don't realize this, apart from the fact that NSA is 1950s mindsets with 1970s technologies, SAIC completely screwed up Trailblazer, Echelon is baloney. 80% of your signals intelligence comes from analysis of patterns. So you don't need to violate privacy. All you need to know is that Schmuckhead is calling Afghanistan once a week. General Shinseki knew exactly what was needed to make Iraq go right, and Paul Wolfowitz lied to Congress and said they'll receive us like liberators and stuff. If I had been General Shinseki, I would have grabbed Wolfowitz by the neck and thrown him down the steps of Capitol Hill. You don't let people lie like that. It's unprofessional to confuse loyalty with integrity. And we have had a failure of generalship in America. Our generals have been too eager to keep their stars and not eager enough to think for themselves and uphold the Constitution. Smedley Butler, the highest decorated Marine, said, "War is a racket. War is a racket. War is a racket, and the only reason it's happening is because the American public is lethargic. Blog that. You are the Paul Revere's and Patrick Henry's of our generation. Bottom-up horizontal connection is key. sharing at all levels, not top-down control. Public intelligence and influence is about to take off. We are about to bury rule by secrecy. Civil affairs is the focal point. The intelligence guys need to go back in their box. Bloggers, non-informants are key. The FBI is about to try and hire 2,000 informants in a Soviet police-style approach to security. That's idiocy. If you bloggers self-organize and attach yourself like leeches to specific issues, corporations, organizations, challenges, whatever, you will be the intelligence minutemen of this century. The power is in your hands. There aren't enough guns to kill us all, and Halliburton can't build a deal fast enough to keep us down. Bloggers, as Linux is organized, where you grab onto an issue or something, and you are part of a structured citizen journalism blogging thing that lets no evil doing go unnoticed, that rules. So I think we're at a turning point. I think we're at the very beginning of a historic tidal shift in power, restoring the Constitution. I don't know how many of you are following this, but the Comptroller General has told Congress the United States of America is insolvent. We're out of Schlitz. We literally have no money to make it to the next decade. Now, there's some very easy solutions. I could eliminate all income taxes tomorrow and have more than enough money to fund the government by using some other guy's bright idea. We tax the Federal Reserve at 0.0006, doubles our money until we decide to put them out of business permanently, because we certainly should not have central banks. We've put together an electoral reform pledge, and it's my view that any member of Congress, any member of the Senate that refuses to sign both a constitutional pledge supporting the Constitution and the electoral reform pledge should be put out of business. And I believe that will be 95% of all of these people. It may be time to literally dump Congress on its ass and start over. The government has gotten stupid to the point that it can't write a statement of work. And so they ask the contractors to write a statement of work, and the contractors write a statement of work saying, you need more of what I haven't been able to sell. And the government says, oh yeah, right, good. Put it in the budget. This is real shit. I can crack all 10 of the top level threats to humanity in less than 25 years for less than one-third of what the world is spending on the military. Blog that. And I will tell you the price of buying back the United States government is $500 million a year. In the early 90s, Newt Gingrich and the Republicans got together. Their plan is now on the street. It's been exposed by a Columbia professor. They concluded that they could buy the United States government from school board to state house to White House for $300 million a year, and by golly, they did. And every single member of Congress is impeachable for having abdicated their Article I responsibilities under the Constitution and serving as foot soldiers for the president and his mendacious vice president. If you confiscate all the wealth in the world, which I do not advocate, all you have is a $5 bill for every one of the 5 billion poor on the planet. For what we have spent on the Iraq war, I could have given a free cell phone to every one of the 5 billion poor on the planet. I could have taken the 10% residual capabilities on DOD satellites, abandoned communication satellites, and I could have provided free T1 to the Southern Hemisphere. Blog that. That's the kind of stuff we have to do. Because if we don't do that, those 5 billion people, instead of producing wealth that stabilizes the earth, are going to produce plagues, epidemics, criminal gangs, drugged up people. Ralph Peters is a friend of mine, and the bottom line here is the only path to wine, women, and wealth for badasses anywhere on the planet that have no money is guns. And what's happening here is we're at the very beginning. We're just starting to come out of our little eggshell. When the industrial era began, it broke the connection between kinship and trust, and it started treating people as commodities. And then we lost sight of our government, and we allowed the corporations to buy the government. The United States of America no longer represents we the people. But you can change that. The reason it's not working today is because we have a military-industrial complex that profits from secrecy and war, and it does not profit from efficiency and peace. Blog that. The bottom line here is that central banking is an evil cancer. These people are selling us credit they don't have so they can take profits they don't deserve out of our pockets. That's nuts. The United States government is constitutionally chartered to print money on the good faith and credit of all of us and not pay interest. Why are we being such fools? Well, unfortunately, if you fight them, you get assassinated. Lincoln and Kennedy were both about to print money and not borrow from the bank. I can't connect those two dots, but I can tell you they're side by side. But the reality is, the federal government is broken in every possible way. And it's going to be localized, bottom-up resilience networks. They're going to save us. That's where you guys come in. Our educational system stinks. It beats the creativity out of kids by the time they're in the fourth grade. It forces you to become a blogger or hacker in order to become creative. So you guys are the lifeboat. We've gone from America the Beautiful to America the Shit. Now, I believe we need to start blogging retrospective impeachment. I'm not saying we need to hang them or tar them or feather them, just out them. I think it's time for citizen investigative journalism to go deep and go back and go current. And people need to understand they can't get away with this stuff. There is absolutely no lack of solution, and there is also no lack of money. What is lacking is the popular political will to exercise our God-given right to be in charge. I got thrown off Fox News for saying the global war on terror wasn't real. Well, it's not. Okay? I mean, until we can get to one man, one bullet for the top 6,000, we can contain the next level, and we can provide a quality of life for everybody on the planet at the lowest level, we're not going to get it. The Air Force solution for terrorism is to kill one guy in an entire village, which, of course, creates 100 to 200 additional terrorists because of that indiscriminate war crime. It's just nuts. And it's nuts because the media isn't doing their job. And so it falls to you. And my dream is to have someone adopt every zip code and start doing that weekly report for their zip code. And then those little reports will start having babies and it'll start spreading. Your government is stupid. And they're stupid deliberately. The intelligence community does not do open source information because they like to think that the cabinet departments are doing their open source information. That's not true. The cabinet departments don't know how to do decision support. What they know how to do is take stakeholder interests and turn them into policy that increases budget share. That is not what I call reality-based budgeting. Politics today has gotten so dirty it's not worth anybody's time if they've got a brain. No, I don't have a brain. I have a soul. And I believe that America needs to get back in the business of managing itself. I am absolutely certain that central banks are an evil. Central banks are screwing us all. Orwell had it right. We are pigs being harvested for profits. I do believe there are secret societies, although, you know, given a choice between conspiracy and incompetence, I generally go with the competent. The Bilderberg Group, I just saw a list of who attended the last time. And it's almost the list of nobodies who want to be somebodies combined with somebodies on their way down. You know, I'm not that impressed. These people think they're the movers and the shakers. They're only the movers and the shakers as long as you let them be the movers and the shakers. I spent 18 years trying to help secret government agencies get in touch with unclassified information. And Tom Attlee sent me an email, and he had this little signature blog where Buckminster Fuller said, don't try and heal a broken system. Create a new system that replaces it. So I'm honored to be here to set the tone for you guys. And my bottom line is, don't waste your time on the federal government. It's going away. There are 27 secessionist movements. There are 9 distinct nations in North America. I anticipate some virtual separation in the Republic. And I think that you're going to find that, like Vermont, for example, is all of a sudden going to be seen by the rest of America as exactly where we want to be, or Seattle. And so that's called the spike theory of change. As soon as one state gets it perfect, it's going to spread like wildfire.
Spread like wildfire, indeed. Former CIA official, or rather officer, Robert David Steele on open source intelligence and the waste of Obama's terror tutorials. All that and so much more. So much food for thought in that clip. Let's quickly bust out the War Horse updates. Size of U.S. nuclear arsenal revealed for the first time. So are 5,113 nuclear bombs enough? More on that from allgov.com, and as we noted last week, as they were prepping for this meeting and this supposed disclosure, that they fudge the numbers. They don't really count the individual bombs, they pretty much count the planes carrying the bombs, so a plane could have, you know, 4 or 5. Or more. More from Cryptogon on the revelation of our nuclear penis size. But from Newsweek, Pentagon confirms $1.4 billion in no-bid fuel contracts to mysterious companies. U.S. deploys thousands of drones in Afghanistan. State Department flies a mercenary air force over Pakistan. Iran beginning massive military drills in the Persian Gulf. Marine Corps tries to cope with rising suicide rate. Secret Eric Prince of Blackwater infamy. Secret tape exposed in a speech. More on that from Jeremy Scahill. And the last note on the war horse, Britain probes claim of chemical weapons in the Fallujah war crime of October 2004. That, my friends, is the end of the massive May 6th news purge. Swim to reach the end. What we're going to do quickly now with the remaining time on this B-side of episode 168 for MediaMonarchy.com for May 7th, 2010, we're going to go over some of the latest alternative media from Media Monarchy, Corbett Report, Ground Zero, and my two other news sites, FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. First, we want to note a thanks to my man Jeff at Radio23.org. I was invited to be a part of a roundtable discussion on the future of community radio in the Pacific Northwest. The talk was part of the first birthday party for Radio23.org, featuring live local music, DJs, drinks, and the launch of Cascade Community Radio, which you can hit at Radio23.org/CCR. So, amongst all the great radio folks, I met people from KPSU, KNRK, KBOO, KZME. I even rambled for a long time on mic with my new friend Trent from KZME. To Cherie Blackfeather of Vox Pop PDX, an interesting self-described talk radio adventure. She was there on the scene with her handy recorder talking to folks. That episode is linked up, and again, it's feeds.feedburner.com/VoxPopPDX. PDX being shorthand for Portland. It's our airport code. So that is available. Me, Trent, Cherie talk about everything from predictive programming and JFK assassination, which you can probably guess I was steering that. And of course, you get a couple drinks in me and I won't shut up. So again, congratulations to Jeff of Radio23.org and thanks to everybody involved, because ultimately we and you listening to this right now are the future of community radio. The latest from a man, Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. Of course, his new show. Now, I guess, going on 6 months on KUFO here in Portland, Oregon, 101.1 FM, Sunday nights at 10. You can get the episodes thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com, and they've launched an awesome new podcast service featuring all of the growing Ground Zero archives as well as the Media Monarchy archives. So again, huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. There's a link at the top of the most recent Ground Zero posting to go to their podcast service. That's the way you can get the new episodes. And again, ultimately, you need to donate to the independent media sources that you like and that you find valuable. That includes Zero Point Radio and Ground Zero and CorbettReport.com and TragedyAndHope.com and yours truly. Clyde's latest episode, speaking of reverse causality, featured guest David John Oates of ReverseSpeech.com. We do have an update from GroundZeroMedia.org, seeing the future in a past once present. And a little related flashback to Media Monarchy of April of 2009, Backward Speech, Obama, and the Antichrist, which reminds me of the upcoming Ground Zero event here in Portland, May 22nd, the AC/DC God Show. I will be there on the scene. It's going to be fantastic. Clyde doing his talk, doing his lecture about essentially eschatology and the Antichrist. My man James Corbett of CorbettReport.com taking a little two-week hiatus, but he dropped episode 130, Wither Europe, before taking a much-needed break. And I should also note our weekly video series, New World Next Week, is also on a two-week hiatus. Wither Europe The European monetary zone is in crisis, and as with any crisis, the masters of the new financial world order want to propose global regulations as the solution. This episode 130 of Korber Report is a special documentary edition featuring Max Kaiser, Gerald Celente, Bob Chapman, Helen Scopus, Webster Tarpley, and more breaking down the European crisis. A couple of new video reports: Jason Burmis on the making of Invisible Empire and Peter Dale Scott featured on the latest installment of Economics 101 on the drugs and the economy and their inextricable links. And a ton of audio interviews as well. The aforementioned Jason Burmis, Helen Scopus, Michael Parenti, Peter Dale Scott, Melissa Short, Annie Michon, several of which will be featured at the upcoming Understanding Deep Politics Conference coming up in Santa Cruz, California next weekend, May 14th through the 16th, which will feature Annie Michon and Helen Scopus, I believe, Michael Parenti, Peter Dale Scott, Jim Mars. I wish I would have known about it a little more in advance. I would love to go check out the Understanding Deep Politics Conference. More on that conference and their kind of cover paper mission statement is available on 911blogger.com. Now, let's quickly blast through my two sister sites. First, let's hit foodworldorder.com and hit the May 6th Binge and Purge. Labels launch lead and listeria. Quickly, my friends, try and keep up. Group urges feds to change U.S. position on food labeling. More on that from farmwars.info. International labeling for GMOs may not happen. Concerned U.S. citizens lobby with petition. That's from examiner.com. YouTube censoring videos with Jeffrey Smith about GMOs. So in response, naturalnews.com will soon be launching their own free speech video network. Again, naturalnews.com. Representative Waxman sneaks anti-vitamin amendment into the Wall Street Reform Bill. Again, from naturalnews.com. More on the sugar wars from redgreenandblue.org. More on the Roundup-resistant superweeds from Monsanto from Cryptagon. And a few disgusting notes on the recalls from foodsafetynews.com. California finds lead in candy, more prosciutto recalled for listeria, and salmonella found in a Nestle plant producing chocolate chips. The last note we mentioned last week, but getting into it further on standeo.com, U.S. food prices spiraling out of control. From Food Safety News, People's Gardens springing up nationwide. Last week, Ag Dep Sec Kathleen Merrigan announced that more than 300 People's Gardens have been planted throughout the country and urged employees of the USDA to continue making plans to plant additional gardens. The announcement came as Merrigan gave the commencement address to the first graduating class of certified USDA Executive Master Garden programs. The program, part of the first ever USDA department-wide volunteer program for the People's Garden Initiative, established February 12, 2009 by Agriculture Secretary and Monsanto goon Tom Vilsack. The People's Garden Initiative challenges USDA's employees to plant and maintain gardens at USDA facilities worldwide or help communities, you know, create gardens of their own. A people's garden can vary in size and type, but all have a common purpose: to help the community they are within and the environment. From The Guardian, fears for crops as shock figures show scale of bee catastrophe. Disturbing evidence that honeybees are in a terminal decline has emerged from the U.S., where for the fourth year in a row, more than a third of the colonies have failed to survive the winter. More on that from the Daily Mail. As well, Wikipedia to read more into the history, just to get the rundown on the so-called colony collapse disorder. We also have links to The Ecologist and psu.edu. Fears for crops as shock figures show scale of bee catastrophe. From alternate.org, American meat is even grosser than you thought. In 2008, Mexican authorities rejected a shipment of U.S. beef because the meat exceeded Mexico's regulatory tolerance for copper. The rejected meat was returned to the U.S. where it was sold and consumed because the U.S. has no regulatory threshold for copper in meat. The last story from Food World Order, again, massive events happening worldwide all around. Catastrophic rupture hits Boston water system, and we'll get the quick bit from the Boston Globe. But we'll note from the economiccollapseblog.com, again, asking the question, why do so many bad things keep happening to us? Us being the big U.S. Our infrastructure is falling apart. Our bridges, our roads, our water systems, all of it. And yet, we're keeping a fading empire afloat by international wars of aggressions and resource wars. Nearly 2 million residents of Greater Boston lost their supply of clean drinking water when a huge pipe abruptly burst Saturday, May 1st, prompting authorities to declare a state of emergency and to impose a sweeping order for homeowners and businesses to boil the untreated water now flowing from their taps.
Water rushes out of a cracked 10-foot-wide pipe that supplies Boston and 30 other Massachusetts communities.
We are losing quite a bit of water, and we call it catastrophic in the event that the city and the metropolitan area that's served by MWRA will be under a boil order.
That's 750,000 households, 2 million people affected.
The water is not suitable for drinking. Therefore, to assure that the MWRA can move quickly and that we have all the resources necessary to deal with this situation, I have declared a state of emergency.
After the break Saturday morning, people rushed to stores to buy bottled water, finding store shelves empty.
It's terrible. I'm so stressed. I need to bathe my little children.
Restaurants preparing for a busy Saturday night didn't have a lot of options.
Push beer, push wine. We can't use sodas on the guns because it's water. It's the concentrate that goes through the water.
At Uchia's, they said to us they couldn't give us no city water. We could have bottled water or spring water, and we said, yeah, we'll take bottled water.
Water officials originally said it could take days or weeks to make a repair, thinking they'd have to find a custom part. But they managed to find a quicker fix, and welders are working on it Sunday morning.
This is a major project to get this repaired and back online.
And while crews are making the fix, those 2 million people must boil water before it's safe to drink. Matt Friedman, The Associated Press.
Again, we brace ourselves as we most assuredly will see more events such as this. Again, as the infrastructure falls apart, whether that's oil spills or catastrophic water main ruptures. Let's hop over now to cyberspacewar.com quickly, my friends, and get the DEFCON 5-6 Global Cooperation and Orwellian Legislation. Cybersecurity meet ends with calls for global cooperation. More on that from DefenseTalk.com. It was a summit in Dallas targeting cybercrime. We have a report from DallasNews.com, but you should also note, and we just went to the East West Institute, who was putting this on, EWI.info, and if you scroll down, you'll see that this event was sponsored by our good friends at Goldman Sachs and Microsoft and the rest. Should Google try to prevent terrorism, asks Danger Room. Fox News says we're getting ready for tomorrow's space wars. IBM's City Sim trains planners to tackle future problems for growing urban centers. That's from Popular Science. BeforeIt'sNews.com notes we should watch the skies. Are aliens really coming, or is it all a government plot? We went over last week, of course, Stephen Hawking noting that we don't really want to meet aliens. As we were discussing the Arizona immigration situation, my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org made the note, even just in passing, of course, that we saw that week. The stories were, and the memes were all about aliens, whether they're illegal or extraterrestrial. Internet hate sites jump 20% in 1 year. Cyber attacks hyped to justify net regulation. That's from the Christian Science Monitor. Groups call privacy legislation Orwellian. That's from Threat Level. The BlackBerry was predicted a century ago by pioneering physicist Nikolai Tesla. Report reams IT admins for secretly snapping student pics. Again, we keep updating you on the story out of Pennsylvania of the school taking what essentially they should call child porn. That's what they should sue it on. Really, screw these guys. And we have flashbacks to that. We've been following the story for months. Facebook bug allowed users to eavesdrop on chats, and top 10 reasons to quit Facebook. By way of Cryptogon.com, where they note that one of the reasons not mentioned in Gizmodo's top 10 reasons to quit Facebook is, of course, Facebook steps up lobbying, deepens ties with intelligence agencies and the FTC. We hit that story several weeks ago. And we don't have time to go over all those reasons of why we probably should delete our Facebook accounts. They were set up with money from InQtel, InQtel. They are the investment arm of your central intelligence agency. That's right, the second wave of funding to set up Facebook came from the CIA. Hacked U.S. Treasury websites serve visitors malware. From the Register, websites operated by the U.S. Treasury Department redirecting visitors to websites that attempt to install malware on their PCs, a security researcher warned this last Monday. The infection buries an invisible iframe in bep.trej.gov, moneyfactory.gov, and bep.gov that invokes malicious scripts from greepad.com. Roger Thompson, chief researcher of AVG Technologies, told the Register code was discovered late Sunday night and was active still at the time of the writing of this article. Hacked U.S. Treasury websites serve up malware. From Steve Watson, the Net Police are coming. UK signs warn against accessing extremist materials. And we've got the photo for you. Police signs begin springing up in internet cafes in London, warning users that they could be reported to the police and face criminal charges if they access extremist, offensive, or inappropriate material. Which could be, again, anything they want it to be. Threat Level notes that a Florida judge ruled that post on ratemycop.com is protected speech. A federal judge struck down a Florida law prohibiting the publication of a police officer's name, phone number, or address, calling the statute an unconstitutional restraint on speech. The decision leaves Arizona, Colorado, and Washington State with similar laws in the books. Florida authorities said last Wednesday they were mulling whether to appeal. Robert Brayshaw, 35-year-old apartment manager, brought the challenge to Florida's law after he was briefly jailed in 08 for posting a personally identifying info bit on a Tallahassee police officer on ratemycop.com, a 2-year-old website that lets users rate and comment on the uniformed police officers in their community. ratemycop.com. Finally, my friends, from Federal Computer Week, Rockefeller calls for public-private action on cybersecurity. Cyber attacks aren't confined by governmental or national boundaries, and neither should cybersecurity programs. Senator J. Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller IV, Democrat of West Virginia, my home state, said recently in calling on government and industry to work together to meet the rapidly rising tide of attacks on U.S. info systems. What does this tell us? Rockefeller and Snow pushing the cyber terror bill. Richard Clark running around fear-mongering. Push of a button destroys the grid. It's been debunked. It's been debunked well by Threat Level. It's a talking point now that we need public-private action. So whether the state takes over the corporations or the corporations take over the state, the end result is the same, my friends. That's going to do it for this B-side episode of 168 from Media Monarchy for May 7th, 2010. A massive episode 169 coming up very shortly, my friends. So much to go over. And I appreciate all your help and all your patience and just listening to the show, becoming more informed, sharing it again. Please share the show with someone. Please share the website with someone. If you enjoy it, you can donate to Media Monarchy. You can send media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212, and we'll keep doing it. Even though the window may be slamming shut, as we noted, is this the end of days or is this just the beginning? We're going to find out. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.